Good evening, everybody. Good evening to those of you who are watching live on Facebook. Hello, might not be good evening for you. Hello to those who are catching up on Facebook or YouTube or on the podcast. It's good to have you with us here at Shift Church. It's Tim Carter here from All Saints Wellington, and I've got a few folk with me. Say hello, Sean.
Hello, everybody.
Say hello, Liz.
Hi, evening all. Great to see you.
Yeah.
Share this stream with a couple of people.
Yes, indeed. Oh, Liz is doing sharing. That's complicated social media thing. You can tell she's a social media expert.
Yeah, just call me social media queen. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the amount of time you spend on Facebook.
that sounds tough.
I mean. Oh, anyway. I wonder how your week's been. Yeah, so I said hello. Yes, if there are, as we're going through today, if you want to join in, do join in on the comments stream. Liz was just saying she was sharing it. You, if you're watching it live or even after you're catching up afterwards, you might want to share it on your own Facebook page. Hit a like and a share. Get it out there. Share it with your friends. Let them see what we're up to. They might want to be, might be interested. And if you're not watching live and you want to contribute or share any questions or prayer requests, do email me. tim@allsaints-wellington.org. It's a really bad idea doing this kind of thing in a chair that twirls, because the temptation is to sit here going like this, and then people who are watching get seasick. Yeah, me and Liz can do it. Sean, have you got a twirly chair?
No.
Oh, you're the odd one out. No twirly chair.
People who are just listening can't see what we're doing, so they're not getting seasick. But I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to sit still. There you go. And I think, Sean, are you looking at the comment stream tonight? You're going to say hello as people are dying?
Yes. Yeah, we've got rather a lot of people, actually. It's really nice. We've got Chris Rossworth, Sue Turnbull, Ali Graham, Marguerite Thompson, Emily, Charlotte Edwards.
Loads of people to say hi to. They're all saying hi to each other on the stream, are they? And kind of.
Yes, they're saying hi and watching.
Doing all the waving things, all the emojis.
Yeah. Really good.
You know. Got a heart. Sorry, I've just had a thought.
Thought?
I know. Does anybody else watch Richard Osman's House of Games?
Well, yes, but you know I do, yeah.
Well, yes, I know you do. Anyway. Richard Osman, it's like this quiz show with celebrities. It's on 6 o'clock on BBC Two most weekdays. Anyway, they have different rounds of different things you have to do. And one of the things they have to do is they work in pairs, and one person in the pair writes a... They have a category. So they'll be given, for instance, this evening, so they'll be given the category of an animated film, and they have to write the title of the film in emojis.
Yeah.
And then their partner is only given the emojis, and they have to work out what the film is.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's brilliant. It's a really good game, but it's really hard as well.
It is really hard. Very few of the partners actually work out what the film is, ever.
Yeah.
But then as soon as you know what it is, you go, of course!
Yeah. There was this really good one tonight, and it was like the emojis was like, there was a pin emoji, then like a shock emoji, like a... Oh, emoji, and then a key, and then another shock. So see if you can guess that one.
No, there were three more as well, to be fair. Oh.
Really?
There were three more after that, which was a little person with a long nose.
Oh, yeah, that gave the clue away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can get that one, but I definitely wouldn't be any good at it, I can tell you.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was clever.
You say you'd get it. Actually, the person on the game show didn't get it.
Really?
No. Anyway, the point being...
what is the point?
There is a point. We should do the same with Bible verses or Bible stories.
Mm.
So, if you're on the stream tonight and you're good at emojis, okay, and you've got a favourite Bible verse or a Bible story, your challenge is to... do that in emojis in the comment stream, and then other people can guess what it is.
Yeah, we should totally do that. That sounds like fun.
We'll see how it goes tonight, and if there are some really good ones, we might make a feature of it in future. So there you are. If you're live with us on the comment stream, and you want to have a go at expressing your favourite Bible verse or Bible story in emojis, have a go at that, and then other people can guess. Not to distract you from the cracking content that we've got for you on screen tonight, of course.
It's not, no. We would love to see your emoji Bible stories.
We would. And if there's enough of them, I might even be able to use them in a kiddies quiz at All In or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? So anyway, really good to have you all with us. Last week, we were thinking about the spiritual discipline of fasting and not giving up new things, but looking at what we have been giving up and have given up over the last 12 months as a spiritual fast and how that might change our perspective on it. So I'd be really interested on how that's gone for you, if you want to put comments in the comment stream. And tonight, we're thinking about the spiritual discipline of worship. And you might not think that worship is a discipline, so that might be something we talk about a bit later, and be really, really good to have your questions or your comments, your thoughts on this on the stream, or email us, as I said earlier, and we'll pick them up next week. So to kind of get us in the zone, for our Sunday service, one of our young people, Harriet, read Psalm 100, which is a short psalm of worship for us. It was great. And I thought it was fab. So what I've done is I've used that recording. I've spread it out a little bit, put a bit of music behind it, just to give us an opportunity to get into that mode of thinking about worship and what it means. So wherever you are, if you're watching on the stream live, if you're catching up on the podcast later, let's just take a moment, take a breath, and be deliberate about being aware of the presence of God as we listen to this, as we get into the idea of thinking about worship. Here we go.
On your feet now, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter, sing yourselves into his presence. God and God, God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home. Taking praise. Thank him. Worship him. Sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal, always and ever, Psalm 100.
That was lovely. I really like that. It was lovely to hear Harriet read that over, you know, the music.
It's just
really lovely. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Just to say, Emily or Emmy has posted a load of emojis on her. I can't share it, but yeah, she's following on the theme.
Yeah, they're brilliant. She says it's last week's story, and it's I can't tell what the first one is, but the second one is definitely like a whale.
Yeah.
And then we've got like a sick emoticon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too easy. That's too and many then, clues.
And then like a kind of that emoticon, like, I'm yeah. crazy anyway. And then a celebration kind of emoticon.
Very good.
I yeah, think that's brilliant.
The kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, as people continue doing that and as we continue thinking about worship, we're going to have a Bible reading. We're going to try something a bit different. And we haven't rehearsed this, so it could go completely pear-shaped. Anyway, we're going to be reading the first kind of 25, 26 verses of John chapter 4. So if you want to follow along on your phone or in your paper Bible, do that. John chapter 4. But rather than one of us read it, it's got different characters. So we're going to try and read it with different ones of us on screen or that you can hear on the podcast taking different characters. It'll all make sense, I hope. So here we go. John chapter 4. Here we go. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her,
"Will you give me a drink?"
His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?"
For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water."
"Sir,"
the woman said,
"nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?"
Jesus answered,
"Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give will never be thirsty. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
He told her,
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband,"
she replied. Jesus said to her,
"You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said, just said, is quite true."
"Sir,"
the woman said,
"I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
Jesus replied,
"Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For that salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth."
The woman said,
"I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. He comes, he will explain everything to us."
And Jesus declared,
"I who speak to you am he."
Look at that. It worked.
It did.
Yeah. Amazing.
There you go.
How did that feel? I mean, Liz, how did you feel being that Samaritan woman?
It was really good, actually, because I love that passage. I love so much about that passage. But I think just speaking her words brings it home a little bit more, what she was feeling and what she was going through and the question that she was asking. I think there's something about doing that that does sort of immerses you in the passage a little bit more, maybe. And then hearing Jesus's words spoken to me directly. That was cool.
And what about you, Sean? How does it feel to speak Jesus' words?
Oh, it made me very nervous. Not worthy. No, it's like Liz says, it gives you a bit of insight, I guess, you know, actually reading that as the person, you know, imagining Jesus saying that to you is mind-blowing, you know, to hear that he can look right into you and see, know your every thought and any history, and that is like, well, it's scary, really, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It is a little bit. So, yeah, anyway, we'll chat about that probably a little bit later, particularly that bit around worshipping in spirit and truth and what that might mean. But before we do that, we've got a guest speaker this evening, Nick Brook. He's going to be reflecting on worship for us, particularly drawing out some stuff from Psalm 100 for us. So I'm going to share so that everybody can hear and see. I'm going to hand over to Nick. So here we go.
Good morning. Yeah, let's pray to begin. So Lord, just thank you for your word. And will you give us the ears to hear what you'd have to say to us this morning through your word? And will you give us hearts soft enough to be transformed by your word? Amen. Does anyone else out there think that it's ridiculous just how many of these celebrity TV shows are on at the moment? The other day, I was going through some channels, and I came across one called Celebrities on the Farm. And I didn't recognize a single one of them, but apparently they are celebrities. But if you watch TV at all, you're bombarded by ads for these types of shows constantly. I mean, there's like celebrities go dating, the big ones where I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, Celebrity on Ice, and the Celebrity Big Brother, but there are tons of them. Apparently there's this huge market for these types of shows. But there actually may be a very deep reasoning for this, other than for its entertainment value. Recently, an academic by the name of Dr. Fishkoff, I believe is how you say his name, he studies the cult of celebrity. And he says that the very need to find an idol and follow him is programmed into our DNA. He says what's in our DNA as a social animal is the interest in looking at alpha males and females, the ones who are important in the pack. He says, we are sociologically pre-programmed to follow the leader. And he also said and notes that we are biochemical sitting ducks for the Hollywood star system. And there's also another study with more than 600 people. And these psychologists found that out of 600, that about a third qualified for a condition that they coined celebrity worship syndrome. Now, this syndrome, I mean, of course, it has varying degrees of how severe these cases might be. On the far end of the spectrum, it says it's most severe, like the object of our worship becomes the central figure in our lives. And I think if you're on that end, we got to be thinking about, like, the stalkers. I don't think there's many people that far in, hopefully. But even across the spectrum, it's causing issues. And he said, and most commonly, the people who fit into this celebrity worship syndrome spectrum, they're very prone to suffer from anxiety and depression. And if you think about it, it just makes sense. If they're looking to these celebrities as this standard to live up to, it's soul-crushing, really. But Abby Aronowitz, she's the psychologist from Long Island, New York, and who led this research. And she said, information about the celebrity or any little thing from their life is like a fix that the worshiper must have. They're almost compelled to learn more, read more, know more, and it's non-ending. And then they go on to say that some even begin to believe that they have this special, I guess you could say almost like a spiritual connection, some sort of connection with the celebrity. It's bizarre, right? It's interesting. It's scary. But these researchers are finding that there is something deep within us that compels us to idolize or worship something or someone. Now, as Fiskoff said, it very well could just be this primitive survival man cave stuff, the wired need to find the alpha that has been carried on through the evolution of man. Because back then, I'm sure, if you weren't following the right leader, odds are you're going to die. Or could an argument be made that God created man, maybe even caveman, and all of this is actually a reflection of who he is, this need to worship? Because what does it mean to worship? I think best to answer that question is to try and explain the relationship of the Trinity. Because to me, the relationship between the three persons of God depicts an image of worship. And the early church leaders described the Trinity using this term, I'm going to butcher this word, I'm sure, perichoresis. Perichoresis. So peri being circle, choresis is dance. It's like a circle dance. And they would describe how God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been in this eternal dance of mutual love, respect, admiration, and continually seeking to elevate the other. I mean, God the Father sent Jesus to include us in this dance. And as Philippians 2 puts it, God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names. And Jesus continually said things like, and he who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I will always do the things that are pleasing to him. And when Jesus explained the work of the Holy Spirit, he said in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the three persons of God are always focusing on and elevating the other. It's in this image of the eternal dance that has most helped me to understand what true worship looks like. It's about recognizing the thing that we love and honor, submit to, and elevate. Now, as Christians, we say that we worship Jesus. I mean, we've been singing these worship songs about Jesus this morning. But worship is so much more than singing a song. It's so much more than praying or reading the Bible or any of the things we normally do on a Sunday morning. These things are actually simple and can easily be done by someone who isn't worshiping Jesus at all. Because our worship is best displayed in how we live our lives. And who we worship is exposed in the way we live our lives. one of the more scary things that I think Jesus ever said can be found in Matthew 7, when he said, it's beginning at verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Because many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Because the act of worshiping Jesus is done by submitting to the will of the Father, just as he did. There's no way around it. So the image of worship depicted in this morning's reading of Psalm 100, where it describes making a joyful noise to the Lord and entering his gates with thanksgiving and praise, it's all but surrounding a verse that says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." It doesn't matter how good you might feel singing a song. Jesus said, if you're not doing the will of God the Father, then you're certainly not following or worshiping him. I'm not convinced that our celebrity worship is just some leftover residue from early man's need for survival. I mean, it's destroying people. How could that be an instinctual thing for survival? No, I believe our need to find something to worship goes much further back. We're created in the image of the triune God that continually loves, honors, submits to, and elevates the other. And we've been invited into this dance by the work of the triune God. It's the Father who sent Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and Jesus reveals to us God the Father. We are creatures that have been created to love, honor, submit, and elevate. And in other words, worship. We can't help but worship. That's what we were made to do. And through the Holy Spirit, we can become aware of where we may be misplacing our worship. And through him, who always points to Jesus, we may be reminded of who our hearts were created to worship. I like how the psalmist in Psalm 44, he prays this: "If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to any strange God, will not God search it out? For he knows the secrets of the heart." God knows that we are prone to worship many false gods. And he knows the secrets of our hearts better than we know ourselves. So let's pray. Lord, you are God. We are yours, and we come to you with thanksgiving and praise. And what a beautiful thing that you have created us to be. Ones who loves and elevates the other. So forgive us when we love and elevate anything more than you. Will you search our hearts and expose those times when we stretch out our hands to anything other than you? Come, Holy Spirit. Show us how to truly be worshipers of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, indeed.
Amen. Wow.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, that's really amazing stuff in that.
Yeah. So yeah, do join in on the comment stream. Questions for clarification or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you're listening afterwards, watching afterwards, and you want to ask a question or make a comment, do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll feed them in next week. So Initial thoughts, guys. What struck you?
Yeah, there was one particular line from what Nick said that really struck me, so I wrote it down, and it is, who we worship is exposed in the way we live our lives. And it just made me think, you know, if somebody looks at our lives, can they see who we worship? Can they see what we are prioritizing? And I think that's to me, but probably a big challenge to all of us, is, you know, is who we worship exposed by the way we live our lives? I don't know, that just really struck me tonight, I guess.
Yeah, I was struck by that when I first heard it and wrote it down as well. I think the thing is that actually who we're actually worshipping is always exposed by our lives.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah. What we're worshipping. Yeah.
It might not be what we say we worship.
Mm.
What about you, Sean?
Yeah, and I was just thinking about our discussion earlier about motor racing and the cricket and all that. Obviously, we've talked extensively about that. So does that mean that we, do we worship them? I don't know.
For those who are listening rather than watching, Liz has just mimed yawning. Sean and I were talking a little bit about sport before we started tonight. Liz was not impressed.
No.
I don't know. I think it is one of those things that can, well, as Nick says, the celebrity culture, it can fill that hole. It can draw our hearts. And I think that's one of the things is the date. It's almost like the dangerous thing is that the things that can become the things we worship aren't necessarily bad in themselves.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with watching sport and enjoying it and following a team.
No.
It's when that starts taking the place and is the entire focus of your life and takes the place of God that it becomes a problem. Yeah. And that can be the same for whether you're into crochet or ballet or opera or 10-pin bowling. These things aren't bad in themselves. It's, do they take the place of God?
Yeah.
I think. I might just be excusing myself.
No, I think that's true. I think it's where are your, you know, where are your idols and are they more important than God?
Yeah.
I think that's what Nick was bringing out. But there was so much that he was saying in that was great. I love what he was talking about, how he's talking about this, the dance of worship in the Trinity and how they are worshipping, they are elevating one another. I love the way he talked about that and how we are invited into that. We are invited into that kind of act of worship, act of elevating God over ourselves, and how we are created to worship. And there is that, and that's why we do look to things like celebrities and things, because there's that yearning inside of us that, you know, we know that we are made to worship. We know that we are made for more. And when we worship God, that is realized in all its fullness, isn't it? So,
I was just thinking about those couple of verses in the Bible where it says that God is a jealous God and that we shouldn't have any idols before him. And that's again quite scary, really, that God is quite clear in what he says, that he is a jealous God. He wants all of us. Not some of us, not part of us, but everything. And how we achieve that, I don't know. But it's certainly something to think about, really, I guess.
Yeah. Is there anything coming through on the comments there, Sean?
Yes. Ali Graham, she's commenting there, it's constantly keeping God as your source. That's what she feels.
Yeah.
And we've had Liz and Emily have done a few emoji. I don't know what you call them, actually. Nobody seems to be able to work them out, actually, to be honest. But
that's right. We'll leave them on the stream. People can have a go if they like. But I think that thing about that Ali was saying about being intentional and a daily decision, that comes loops back to what I was saying about at the beginning about the spiritual discipline of worship.
Yeah.
That actually sometimes when we talk about worship, we think, we pitch up at church, we stick a worship CD on and we sing along. And that doesn't feel like it's a discipline.
Mm.
Whereas actually what we're talking about, kind of how we live our lives, the focus of God, that is hard work.
Yeah.
Or is it just me it's hard work for? Do other people find it hard work?
Yeah.
No, it is. Yeah. It is hard work. And that's what the Bible passage brings out, that the sort of worship God is looking for is worship in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only the sort of worship that makes us feel good on a Sunday and we kind of go along and, you know, sing or whatever, usually, except for the last year. It's not just about that. It is about the way that we live our lives.
Yeah.
So that is spirit and truth.
Yeah.
And that is when it's tough as well, and when we're a bit bored or can't be bothered or
just a comment as well from Tom. He's saying, sort of ringing with what you're saying, Liz, a good yardstick is to look at the fruit. So, you know, definitely. I when I drive to work, not that I've done a lot of that lately, but I like to use that time to try and spend some time in worship. You know, put a CD on in the car, and I like to do that. But it's interesting, when I don't do it, I feel like I feel bad, actually. And it's like I've got into a bit of a routine that every time I go to work or go on a long journey, I have to put a CD on that's a worship CD and spend some time in worship. Otherwise, if I don't do that, I feel like I'm cheat. You know, I'm like I'm robbing God of worship.
Yeah.
And I guess what we've been saying about music and singing, that's not to do that down. It's not that it's not a really important part, and actually helps us access our emotions and to do this honouring and loving and elevating and expressing all that. And actually when we choose to do that, very often it can set us up for the day so that we can live in a way that honours God. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that we're saying, oh, that isn't important. It can be a really important part of this discipline.
Yeah.
It's just not all of it.
No. Got quite a few comments from various people. So we've got Ali Graham saying, I think worshipping God is bowing down to his will and authority. It's valuing him above all things. Where else have we got? Emily has asked, do we have enough Christian role models for our young people to counter the mainstream culture?
That's a good question.
It's a good question. The only one I can, there is several actually. I mean, you've got people like Bear Grylls. He's a good role model, I would suggest. And then you've got a few kind of singers like people like Governor B. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's like a Christian rapper. He wrote a song recently with the guy from Gas Street, I can't remember his name.
Oh, Tim Hughes.
Hughes, I think he wrote that song where they all got together and sung it.
Oh, The Blessing. Yeah, he was on that, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was on that, and I think he's a good model because he's young and you know, he's kind of with it and happening and all that sort of thing. So
Unlike us.
But again, isn't it? It's making sure that we don't kind of elevate those kind of people above God as well, and see them as, put them on pedestals, I guess.
Mm.
It could be bad for them doing that as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a really good segue. Thank you, Emmy, because we need to think about taking this home. How do we help our youngsters to worship, to live lives of worship, to find worship something natural?
Sorry, my internet went then. Can you say it again?
Oh, yeah, so take it home. How do we help our youngsters worship in life, but also kind of find worship natural?
Yeah. I guess that we talk to them about what they enjoy doing and why they enjoy doing it and how much time they spend on it, and kind of challenge them to think about how much time that they spend on God and worship and stuff compared to that, and challenge ourselves as well. But, you know, as families, it's certainly not just...
One of the things we were exploring on Sunday was the place of kind of thankfulness in worship and thankfulness as a route into worship. And that maybe can be something we can do with our youngsters, just the habit of, I don't know, an evening meal or breakfast time saying, what are you thankful for today, or what are you thankful for about yesterday? Shall we thank God for that? That can be a way into just that habit of worship, perhaps.
Yeah, gratitude.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And you know, for the song worship is good, and a lot, there's so many good kids songs out there and YouTube videos and stuff. Just getting them, getting those on around the place and in the car, I think that can be a real positive for them. And
our kids, even though they are well past the age, still occasionally ask for the retro work, kind of...
I know they do in the car, don't they?
Still CDs we used to have on in the car for every long journey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have to listen to those sometimes. It's quite sweet.
It is, yeah. And I think, like you said, you know, it's getting into healthy habits of, you know, maybe reading the Bible or talking to your kids about things, you know, worship or, you know, the importance of God and you know, where Jesus is in all of that. I think that's you know, that's how you, I guess, the best way to approach it really is I guess leading by example as a parent, you know, the things that you do, obviously your kids are watching, they're observing. And so if you are, you know, trying to put God in the center, then in theory, that should be, should work. But I've got a comment here from Glenys, and she's asking, how do you help old people to grow?
That's a good question. That can be challenging, yeah. So throw that out to the comment stream. How do we help those of us who've maybe been around the block a few times and got a little bit cynical and a little bit set in our ways to be free in worship?
Mm.
And I think we can all be whatever age we are. I think my experience of folk in maybe the third age is that it is difficult for change to happen. People who've got to that age who are natural, who've been worshipping all their lives, have a brightness and a smile about them very often. And they're very relaxed about changes of style of music and all that kind of stuff, because their heart is so fixed on Jesus that everything else is irrelevant. But folk have had a whole life of not being focused on Jesus. It can be really tough for them to change those patterns of a lifetime. So I think the answer is gently.
Yeah. Just as part of that, Tom's just said, I think all wholesome activities can be worship. It's about framing the activities with reference to our spiritual lives.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because there's that Bible verse that says, look to all the good things, to the praiseworthy things in life. Is not just about, so everything good is from God, and all the like he says, the wholesome activities is an act of worship in a sense.
Is that Tom Gwilliam?
Yes.
So I'd go with Tom on this, because I'm fairly sure Tom's not that keen on singing, but is very keen on mountain biking. If you're out thrashing on a mountain bike trail and the beauty of the creation around you is causing you to thank God for it and to enjoy God's creation, but you're not really much fan of singing and that doesn't bring you close to God, then go out on your mountain bike.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I might get some thumbs up emojis from Tom on that one.
Yeah, I think you will, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point, because a long time ago, I used to ski, and one of my favourite places was skiing in the Swiss Alps. And what I used to do, get out early onto the slopes. And one of the things that just used to, I was really struck by the awesomeness of the mountains and that, and how great they were and that. And it just helped me, it basically helped me to focus on God. you know, that the God could create such things for us to enjoy. And just giving him the glory for that really was something that really drew me close to him, really, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, Tom says, right on, Tim.
Yeah.
So you got your thumbs up. Right. Talking of emojis, I really want to know what Emmy's first one is. It's really bugging me. I got your second one. It's the feeding of the 5,000, but I didn't get the first one.
Right, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. We're going to draw it all into a bit of, guys, we are going to have a bit of music just to help us to, just give us an opportunity to reflect ourselves on some of these ideas. And I'm just going to see if I can make this work. So give me just a moment. There we go. Okay, here we go. So over to Liz, who's going to lead our prayers this evening.
So tonight in our prayers, we're going to use the format from Nick's talk, the four words that he used to frame our prayers. So we're going to love, honour, submit and elevate. And bring our worship to God within those words. So we start with love. What do we want to say to God about how we love God, what we love about God? Do join in with some short sentences on the stream. Father, we just want to say that we love you. We love that you sent your only son to die for us. We love that you created us. And we love that you're the rock on which we stand.
We love, Holy Spirit, that you fill us and give us wisdom.
We love that you are a God of love. Everything about you, Lord, is love.
We love your presence here with us.
We love your embrace.
I love that you don't give up on us.
We love that you assure us by the power of your Holy Spirit.
I love that you father us. Mm-hmm. You've adopted us as your children.
We love that you love us more than we can imagine. And we move on to honour. And when we honour God, we remember that God is holy and deserves our praise. So having told God what we love about him, let's honour him for his holiness and glory. So, Father, we honour you this evening. And we lift our eyes away from ourselves, away from the glare of celebrity and the things of this world. And we look to you.
And we join with the angels in saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of the angel armies.
And we say that you are the name above names. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord.
We want to honour you with our lives and not just our tongues, Lord. We know we fail. So help us, please, to honour you with all that we are, all that we do.
Thank you, Lord, that honouring you is the best we can do, Lord. It's quite simple, really. Just giving ourselves all to you, Lord. All our focus, all our thoughts, all our energy.
So we move on to submit. So let's pray into how we can yield to God, even when times are tough, even when we don't want to. And take this time to just bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, to lay them at his feet. Father, help us to lay ourselves aside and come before you with sincere and reverent hearts, giving you all our needs and all our worries. And help us to say yes to you. Help us to trust in you, even when things hurt.
We choose to submit our lives and our wills to you, Lord. You are sovereign. You are our master. We choose to obey your commands.
Thank you, Lord, that when we submit to you, you take over, you give us all that we need, you provide for us, you bless us. We don't have to worry about a thing because you've got it all in hand. You've got it all under control.
Thank you, Jesus, that when you were in the Garden of Gethsemane, even you were hurting, you were in so much pain, you said, not my will, but yours be done. And you gave us a model of how we yield to you and how we lay our lives before you. So help us to do that. Help us to keep worshipping you, to keep seeking your face when it's hard, and to keep living for you when time gets tough. A prayer from a stream. Lord, I welcome you into my life, not my will, but yours be done. And we bring before you all we know who are hurting right now, those who are broken, those who are mourning. We ask that you would comfort and console them by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we finish with Elevate. Let's just take a moment to think about the place we give God in our lives and what else we elevate in our lives. And let's just pray for strength to give God first place. Thank you, God, that in you, in Father, Spirit, we see this dance of elevating one over the other, and that you invite us into the dance. You invite us into worshipping you, into giving you glory. And in that place, we find rest for our souls, in the place of elevating you above ourselves. We find that our longing is soothed, and that yearning in us is filled up. So help us, Lord, to put you above us in everything we do and everything we say.
Yes, Lord, as the psalmist says, you, God, is God. And when we try and hold that your place, the higher place, it's so exhausting, Lord, trying to be in that place which isn't ours. As actually, as we take our place and allow, lift you up to the place which is yours, we just find that rest because we're in the right place and you're in the right place. Help us to let go of our false aspirations and pride, and just to rest in the humility of who we're created to be and who you are as our creator. We lift you up, Lord.
Father, we pray that you would enable us to do that, Lord, because we do struggle with that, Lord. It's not easy to do that, and I just pray that you give us your spirit to do that, to elevate you to that place that you need to be, that we would follow examples of the example of Jesus, knowing what his purpose was, knowing that he was here to do your will, to have you at the center, to have you at the forefront of all that he did and all that he needed to do. Help us, like Jesus, to do that, Lord. Prayer from the stream, reveal to me those things I need to set aside to make space for you, Lord, to elevate you to your rightful peace in my heart.
I'm just going to close with a few lines from a poem I wrote about elevating God above ourselves. Just one day in your court is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Just one day away from my own courts, from the spotlight of my heart, from the shrine to me, from the unholy place of my selfish need. Just one day away from courts of this earth, from incessant pain and deluge of shame, from the shrines of all the rights that we claim, unholy spaces of unsacred spaces. Just one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Liz. Great. So we're coming towards the end of our thing this evening. Well, not this evening. If you're listening afterwards, it won't be this evening for you, possibly. It's been great to have you with us. If you've got comments or questions, do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And actually, I've got a specific question to ask you. We've got a bit out of sync with the Sunday themes. Normally, we follow on from the Sunday theme at All Saints, as most of you'll be aware. But we had an Ash Wednesday special a couple of weeks ago, and we explored lament, which we hadn't actually done on a Sunday. So we're doing lament this Sunday at All Saints in the morning. So the question is, do you want to continue exploring lament next Wednesday? We'll have some different perspectives on it, so we can do that. Or have you had enough of lament, really, and you'd like us to do something else? So maybe put a comment on the comment stream, Facebook me, email me, let me know. Do you want us to continue with an exploration of lament next week? Or do you want us to think of something else, which we can do? So that's fun. It's been really great to have you with us tonight. Thank you very much. And we're going to say goodbye. So say goodbye, Sean.
Goodbye, Sean.
And say goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye, Liz.
And I'm going to say goodbye as well. Goodbye, everybody. God bless.
Take care.